Are we rolling?
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We're gathered on January 21st at 10 a.m. on 10:05 a.m. on the 12th floor of the Capitol for the regular weekly, biweekly commission meeting of the Public Service Commission. I call this commission meeting to order. We'll start with some opening comments. I didn't have a chance to listen to the governor or the president's State of the Union last night. I was at a legislative dinner, so I'll leave any comments about that to my colleagues if they have any of those sorts of comments to make. Otherwise, I think we have a new staff person to introduce. His name is Jack. Do you go by Jack? Did I hear people talking about this morning? Everyone's been calling you John for the first day, so that's kind of a big faux pas not to get the preferred name right, but sorry about that, Jack. Moving forward, Jack Hsu is a new attorney on our staff. We're really pleased to have you on board. We have lots of work to do. I'm sure you're noticing that already and hit the ground running, and so welcome aboard. We look forward to having you on our team and really taking advantage of your good legal expertise and your legal education, so welcome. I don't have any other big opening comments. I'll kick it over to my colleague, Commissioner Crispin.
Not a lot of opening comments, just some good meetings this week with telecommunications people who were in town yesterday and the grain dealers who were in town on Monday and spent quite a bit of time with the grain dealers. And of course, we have some legislation and a rules package that would impact them. And so got quite a little feedback while I was down there, and most of it pretty positive and useful, and so I really appreciate that, and ready to get started on our meeting here and keep moving forward, and as we will be for the next 3.5 months, keeping an eye on the activities down in the legislative wing. A lot of things happening, and looking forward to working with those folks for these next few months.
Thank you, Randy. Brian?
Just a couple general thoughts. I guess I'm excited. The final appointment letting me be the chair of the Clean Coal Subcommittee came through last week, and so I'm doing some of the work with that and initial discussions with Department of Energy. They want to do an enhanced oil recovery study of North Dakota to see how the EOR might tie into future generations of coal. So that's it's already good news coming out from that new opportunity, so we'll see where that all plays out. Found out just last week that Aaron Mormon, our pipeline safety guru, goes to his national meetings all the time, and we've been offered the opportunity, which is kind of you take your turn, to the National Association of Pipeline Safety Representatives, NAPSR, will be having the convention in Bismarck this year, June 22nd to the 26th. So our role is to host the convention. They really do most of the work. Aaron will do a lot of it. It'll involve some of our staff, but we'll talk more about that with my colleagues at the discussion part of it. But I think it's a good opportunity. It's not like we had to, it's just this kind of rotates around is what it ends up happening. So I think that's going to be also a good opportunity for the state to, especially in the pipeline safety push that we've had, we can maybe draft some of these agenda to get some of the presenters to hit on topics we want. And finally, Julie brought up Jack Hsu was just started with the commission. I'm very excited about that. However, I did learn this morning that he is also a Vikings fan. So with him, addition of him and Jerry Lehan, we have to be watching this very carefully. So that's all I have.
All right. Commissioner Kalk, if you don't mind, I'll add under admin a discussion about that NAPSR conference. I'd like to ask a little few more questions about that and learn a little bit more. For the discussion matters under admin. All right, there's a number of items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda item. I have a couple of items. We'll be holding over one of my items, JF3, which is the order on certificate of public convenience and necessity. Staff has a little bit more work they need to do on that, and so we're going to hold that over to the next meeting. But moving forward with JF1, I move the commission deem complete the applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit, and further move the commission issue a notice of filings and notice of hearing in Meadowlark Midstream Company LLC / Epping Transmission Company LLC Little Muddy Creek Pipeline and Epping Station Project Siting Application Case Number PU-14-769.
Second.
On November 3rd, Meadowlark Midstream Company and Epping Transmission Company filed a joint application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a joint application for a route permit concerning this 14-mile, 10-inch diameter crude oil pipeline and facilities in Williams County. The project will involve converting 10 miles of existing gathering pipeline and constructing 4 miles of new transmission pipeline and an expansion at Meadowlark's Epping Station. We deem this application complete and will be setting a date and a time for a public hearing on this matter in Williston during the admin portion of our meeting. The total capacity of this project is 100,000 barrels per day, the maximum capacity. The typical operations would be for 50,000 barrels per day. This project gathers crude and transports it from near Epping and transports it north and west towards an existing pipeline and a new pipeline that will connect to the Enbridge system for transport out of state. It also includes one new tank construction for an estimated capacity of 55,000 barrels. So if I counted them correctly, 8 new pipeline applications that we've received since November. You have to go back and double check. So it's very brisk work. Our staff is really busy reviewing all these new applications, and we're getting through them as efficiently as we can. But we're glad to see all these new pipeline projects. It puts pipe in the ground and takes trucks off the road. So don't have anything else to add on this project at this point.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission deem complete the applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit, and further move the commission issue a notice of filings and notice of hearing in Meadowlark Midstream Company LLC 10-inch crude oil pipeline divide to Burke County, citing application case number PU-14-823.
Second.
Not to be confused with the previous item. This is another project by Meadowlark Midstream. This project is new construction. They submitted an application on November 12th for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for a 46-mile, 10-inch diameter crude oil pipeline and associated facilities in Divide and Burke counties. We will set a hearing for this. Will be set during our admin portion of this meeting as well. This is new construction. Basically, it goes from the Divide pump station to the Basin Transload Rail facility near Columbus. This project has a capacity of 35,000 barrels per day and a total cost of $33 million. And this project currently, crude oil is being transported by truck, so this pipeline will eliminate trucks on the road as well and move that into pipeline transport.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
JF3, we're holding over till the next meeting. So that brings me to JF4. I move the commission deem complete the application for a certificate of site compatibility and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Targa Badlands LLC, Little Missouri Gas Plant Expansion, McKinsey, siting application case number PU-14-853.
Second.
On December 31st, Targa Badlands LLC filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for the proposed Little Missouri Gas Plant Expansion Project in McKinsey County. This project consists of equipment and associated facilities for processing approximately 273 million standard cubic feet of natural gas per day. Again, we'll be setting the date for this hearing. It will be held in Wofford City at We believe at Teddy's Residential Suites. We'll be setting the date during our admin portion of this meeting. This is the this project goes back to 2012, perhaps before that. I couldn't really tell by the application, but there was this facility had the capacity of 12 million cubic feet per day in 2012. They've gone through two expansions and an ownership change. Most recent expansion took it up to 73 million cubic feet per day. This will be another expansion of 200 million cubic feet per day. So the total capacity at this facility will be 273 million cubic feet per day once it's gone through the application process, permitting process, and construction. They're proposing there would be four units upon completion, two different technologies. They're also constructing at this an NGL storage facility. The NGLs are currently transported by truck. They'll eventually be transported by pipe. They're adding a compression station. There is an existing compressor station there, and they're constructing a new electrical substation as part of this project as well. This project would have the capacity to process 303 cubic feet per day of rich gas, resulting in 273 MCF of natural gas that would be transported on the northern border pipeline, and 54 barrels per day of NGLs that would ultimately be transported out of state by the Targa Lateral pipeline. So another big project in gas processing resources in North Dakota that we'll be reviewing and going through the public input process here in the next couple of months.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission approve the Columbus Phase 15, Wilton Phase 1, and Scranton-Bowman Phase 3 projects as the major projects for abandoned mineland reclamation in 2015 and submit the 2015 to 2018 North Dakota Abandoned Minelands Reclamation Simplified Grant Application to the Office of Surface Mining to request $2,781,000 in federal funds.
Second.
I'll save that part for later on the side. Last week, we received notice that the OSM allocated North Dakota $2,781,000 for the next AML grant period, and that begins March 1st of this year. We should have been allocated $3 million this year, but this amount was reduced 7.3% due to sequestration. The AML division plans the following projects in 2015. Columbus Phase 15, and that is the 15th phase, not necessarily because of 2015. This project will eliminate about 5,000 feet of hazardous high walls at abandoned surface mines. These AML sites are characterized by high walls approximately 25 feet high, and some are near public roads. The estimated project cost is around $500,000. The Wilton Phase 1 project as work involves drilling and pumping pressurized grout into collapsed underground mine workings under public roads south of Wilton, and that estimated project cost is $950,000. And the Scranton-Bowman Phase 3 project also involves drilling and pumping pressurized grout into collapsed underground mine workings. The sites are under public roads near Bowman and at an occupied farmstead near Reeder. The estimated project cost in that case is $850,000. So that's three main projects. Some of the available construction funds will also be used for a maintenance project to fill hazardous sinkholes that have been caused by underground mines. If necessary, some of these funds will be used for emergency projects, and that part of it would estimate to be about $100,000. So the estimated total cost for all four projects is about $2.4 million. With about $1 million in carryover monies from 2014 and the construction funds that we will be receiving in our 2015 AML grant, we expect to have almost $3.8 million available. Nearly $1 million of the total grant amount will be needed for staff salaries, travel, and other operating costs to design and manage the projects and to cover other administrative expenses, leaving almost $2.8 million, about $400 of which we expect to carry over in 2016. As an aside, I always find it interesting that something called the 2015-2018 North Dakota Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Simplified Grant Application can have the word simplified in it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just always want to add to keep the awareness out there of just how much federal dollars come back to the Public Service Commission to execute this program. And as these numbers fluctuate, we always have to keep a close eye on it, because if someday they get reduced even more, it would be tough to run this program. And it's a liability that we have that we think we need to make the legislature always aware of it. And I know they are down there, but the money that we get through this program, as well as our pipeline safety, we really got to watch those closely as the federal authorizations play out.
To add to that a little bit, I was visiting with Jim about how this program is funded, and it's important to remember on this program that it's funded by fees on mining, and that those taxes and fees are in place until October of 2022, and then they expire, and so they'd have to be reauthorized, or we'd have to fulfill this work entirely with state money, or find another way to complete this work. So I think it's important to give the existing mining companies credit for investing in this, because they're being charged for these safety improvements on mining that was occurring, you know, years ago. Also, just to talk a little bit about how these projects are prioritized, there was an inventory of the surface mines and underground mines created back when this program was started in the 80s, and they were Jim and his team comes up with their priorities every year based on which areas are present the most hazardous concerns for the public safety. So they're just an example of slow and steady gets a job done. You've been working at this for years and just constantly chipping away and making improvements and eliminating these hazards. To date, this biennium, if I am recalling correctly, you've filled 400 voids. And since the program was started, 29 miles of dangerous high walls have been eliminated. So it's great work, and applaud the focus of that AML division on continuing to eliminate these hazards throughout the state.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-15-23 granting the request of Hatton Commodities and Transfer Incorporated of Hatton, North Dakota, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Hatton Commodities and Transfer filed a license application to operate as a roving grain buyer. The owner has over 20 years experience contracting and merchandising grain while working for various licensed grain buyers in the state. They estimate they will purchase 90,000 bushels of grain in North Dakota during the first year in operation, and filed a $50,000 corresponding surety bond. Hatton Commodities and Transfer provided written confirmation that they have not conducted any business as a roving grain buyer in the state. Statutory compliance has been met, and the staff recommends that a roving grain buyer license be issued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just for the fun of it, would this be one of the examples where under our new rules, a different bond would be levied?
This would fall under the minimum, so that has not changed.
Okay.
And
so anything under $100,000.
That's correct. And the new rules also have a higher bond for the first 6 years of operation for grain warehouses, but that does not impact the roving grain buyers.
And there was a higher bond for the roving grain buyers too, but it was based on capacity, correct?
On their volume.
Volumes.
Yes.
Volumes. Okay.
But
the minimum.
It falls under the minimum, and yep. So that then they wouldn't have been caught up in that.
Okay, good. Good to talk about it in a real circumstance.
Yeah.
Thanks, Randy.
Is there any further discussion? So Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Commissioner Kolk.
Thank you, ma'am. Item BK1. I move the commission deem the amendment to applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice opportunity for hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperatives 345 KV Transmission Line, Mercer, Dunn, McKenzie, Williams, citing application case number PU11-696.
Second.
The famed case PU11-696, the transmission line the commission worked on quite a bit the last couple of years. In April of 2014, we issued the final corridor certificate and route permit for the Basin Electric line that extended approximately 200 miles. What this does today is the company, as they continue to refine the route based on things that are happening out there. In December of last year, Basin Electric filed an amendment requesting a corridor and route modification to avoid a new oil and gas well and to connect to a future substation in McKenzie County. Basically what it is they're going to go about 500 feet, give or take, out of the corridor and connect with the substation. And as they do that, they're going to route around a new oil well that's kind of popped up in that area. So it's to me, that certainly seems reasonable, but the process is that we'll put it out there for notice of opportunity for hearing. That's one of the issues to consider. And the second one, in January of this year, Basin filed an additional amendment proposing the addition of a new 345-115 KV substation in Dunn County. So what this really does is sets the opportunity for a hearing. Anyone requesting a hearing must do so by March 2nd. If no one requests a formal hearing, the commission can do it without having a hearing. So really, I think the best way to explain this is that there's two spots. One is the one in Dunn County, approximately, boy, it's hard to get the exact location here, but along the run of the line that runs from the start point over into the Grassy Butte area, right about there in the middle in Dunn County is where they're going to add a new substation. And the northern route just north of Arnagard, where they're going to reroute around the new oil field as well as put a new substation in. So I think as Basin continues to figure out what exactly they're going to need, they've asked for these substations to come in. And so we'll certainly, whether there's a hearing or not, we'll have them in here to talk through this, I imagine. So everything seems to be in order, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just add, we talked to the company to can get an update on their construction plans, and it sounds like they're planning to start construction in May with completion in 18 months after that. So they're moving ahead and eager to get this this project underway and in use. And when you look at our portfolio of work, you can see why, just looking at what we have. You know, the gas processing facility that we're reviewing now, another large 400 MCF gas processing facility under permitting. So those require a lot of new power, number of new pipelines, including application for the Dakota Access Pipeline, and the pipelines require a lot of energy too. So we've got to generate more energy and get it to the people and to the regions that need it, and this is a big project to do that. So eager to get this underway as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission deem complete the application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit conditioned upon receiving final transmission line structures locations 10 days prior to hearing and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative's North Kildare Loop Phase 1 345 KV transmission siting application, case number PU14-813.
Second.
And Randy, just so you know, that was a simplified motion that our staff put together. Okay. This project is a new project. In November of last year, Basin Electric filed an application for the Certificate of Corridor Compatibility and Route Permit for approximately 28 miles of new 345 KV transmission line and a couple substations along the route as well. In January of this year, the commission deemed the application complete, and we also will be setting the hearing date sometime probably in mid-March or April, also in the Watford City area. To walk through this route, it's a little bit easier to give you a visual of where it's at. The two points, one point would be basically the intersection of Highway 23 and Highway 73 east of Watford City. There'll be a substation south of the road, and that's one anchor point of the transmission line. Then if you ran westward toward Watford City, it goes north of Watford City and ends up at another substation straight north of Arngard as well. So you can kind of get a visual of it's roughly, you know, 14 miles on both sides of Watford City. Really will shore up some of the reliability issues in that area. And one thing that I wanted to highlight in this particular case is, as you go through our criteria, one of the things that we consider is, you know, will this provide minimal adverse effects in the environment? And then will the proposed facility minimize adverse human and environment impacts while ensuring continued system reliability? And that's the thing that I really wanted to highlight in these power lines is that the system reliability is a big reason that all these projects are coming into place. You try to minimize your adverse effect. It doesn't say no adverse effect. It says minimize them. And the reliability is the big concern that I've always had and the commission, I think, has on the power grid right now that, you know, there's all this discussion about the cost of oil has dropped, and I think that's good for consumers. But they're all trying to figure out what's that mean in North Dakota. What it means is that companies can get caught up in the transmission lines they need to build and the pipelines they need to build to meet the existing need. So it may have some impacts in the future. But as Commissioner Fedorchuk has laid out, there's all these projects in front of us now that are coming because they need to quit doing these workarounds providing power, get a grid put in place that needs all the needs. So I look forward to this hearing. The cost, approximate cost, $135 million for this 28 miles of line with the associated subs. But this area, it's really good that we're getting these hearings in front of us and they're starting construction because as I get more and more involved in the Southwest Power Pool discussion and the MISO discussion, the transmission and generation that we have in North Dakota is not only important to us, it's important to this whole region. So look forward to the hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just to reinforce some of Commissioner Kalk's comments, this loop provides the redundancy and really runs through the heart of the Bakken in some of the highest production areas where they're just really short on transmission infrastructure and really provides some more stability and reliability in the Watford City area, which, based on our first hearing, was one of the areas that's the hardest to get to and the hardest to reinforce and the greatest need. So it'll be interesting to walk through this process and make sure it's all reviewed carefully and we get to the minimum impact that we're required to, and everything will be in order. So thanks.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thanks, Darrell. Item BK3, I move the commission deem complete the application for a certificate of site compatibility and issue a notice of filing a notice of hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative's Lonesome Creek Station Phase 3 project, citing application case number PU14-852.
Second.
In December of last year, Basin filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility to construct and operate three simple cycle combustion engines generating a maximum of 45 megawatts electricity for each. This project is to be constructed adjacent to the three existing 45 megawatt simple cycle combustion turbines in the McKenzie County, North Dakota. This hearing will also be in Watford City, also to be scheduled at the end of our meeting. And in this one, if you little ballpark math, the Lonesome Creek Station is approximately 14 miles west of Watford City, just a little bit south of Highway 85 and the intersection of 140th Avenue Northwest. So these three plants are proposed to be in that area. And as Julie pointed out, I mean, everything in this meeting today seems like it's all around Watford City. So Basin's building transmission, they're building more generation, and look forward to this hearing as well. And yet one more use for natural gas.
We have a motion and a second. Is there a further discussion?
Oh, I forgot. $99.3 million is the approximate cost of this project. Just always go back to, I remember my first year in the commission here, and even before when other commissioners, if the commission would do something that was $500,000, it was front page news throughout the whole state. Now we $99 million, $180 million. It's just amazing. I know that Stacy and Commissioner Fedorchuk are working on a press release, but isn't it over a couple $1 billion last year that we did? So it's just amazing that continue to be amazed by the projects coming through.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. And item BK4 was moved to JF4. Just for clarification, if it's natural gas processing, it's Commissioner Fedorchuk's portfolio. If it's natural gas to electricity, it's my portfolio. So that was one thing that we'll talk about in discussion, maybe to clear that up a little bit. And finally, item BK5. I move the Commission issue a notice opportunity for hearing in Consolidated Communication Network, Inc.'s designated eligible carrier application, case number PU15-18.
Second.
Okay, in December of last year, Consolidated Communication filed an application to be designated as an eligible telecommunication carrier as a competitive local exchange company for the purpose of receiving federal funding through the Federal Communications Rural Broadband Experiment Program. Consolidated proposes to provide wireline telecommunication and broadband internet in certain areas, new rural areas of Stark County. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by March 5, 2015. If appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. In talking to our crack staff, Julie Prescott, on this one, this is the first time I'd seen something like this come through that says federal funding through the Federal Communications Rural Broadband Experiment Program. There's been so much discussion nationally and locally about what the changes in USF dollars mean. This new fund called the Connect America Fund is less dollar amounts, but overall, but there are some provisions in the Connect America Fund that if a company applies and meets certain criteria, they can request funding to provide additional rural broadband. So Consolidated has put that application to us for, you know, to authorize them to be a CLEC in this area. We'll certainly go through it. But I think it's very interesting that anyone that thinks North Dakota doesn't have good broadband, I think, is just not following the news. The state's got very good broadband, but we always need to continue to improve it. So this is, it's very good for Consolidated to do this. It is very interesting. I know that Mid-Continent is working hard in that area as well. So Mid-Continent and Consolidated are really working hard to get customers in there, and I think there certainly are benefits for customers when you've got a lot of people trying to compete for their business. So we'll see how this plays out as far as the final decision we make and what may happen inside of what customers they're going to serve. And even if there's not a formal hearing, I'm sure we'll get Consolidated in here and kind of walk us through what areas they're thinking about serving. I know Julie has talked to Consolidated, and we're trying to get a better feel for that. But I think they also are as well. The point is now they're trying to get the funding to expand even more broadband to the southwest part of North Dakota.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio.
All right. That concludes the regular portion of our meeting. Boy, that sure does illustrate our siting jurisdiction. When you look at, we had two pipeline cases, a gas processing facility, transmission lines, and a generation facility all today, and all new projects being sited and worked on. So
at least we forget that in the consent, the Commissioner Crispin gets to sign more blaster certificates.
That's right. That's right. And biennium to date, this does not include the projects that we just discussed, but biennium to date, we've provided siting certificates for $3.2 billion worth of infrastructure.
So it's more than two.
Well, we've got, we're focusing on just last year, and we'll get that news release out shortly, but biennium to date, $3.2 billion in new siting certificates issued. Huge investments by the private sector in North Dakota, and more to come. So, anybody have any questions? Can I borrow that? I left that on my desk. First, before we get to that, let me highlight what we've got upcoming. I'd like to have a lot of time just to stay here and keep tabs on downstairs, but we do have a lot of work to take place as well. Tomorrow we're heading to Ashley for a wind farm siting application, some changes to a wind farm down there. We're having a hearing on that. Next Wednesday, I guess Otter Tail Power is coming for a periodic information exchange meeting. And the week after that, February 3rd, we have a big formal hearing on some damage prevention cases all day long. Following week after that, we have a hearing on One Oak Rockies Midstream Demix Lake Gas Processing Facility. That'll be in Watford City. So you know, very full agenda of work that the commission will be doing both here in the Capitol with the legislative session and throughout the state. So with that, I'll open up to any questions.
On the JF4, yes. Did you have a price? Did they give you an approximate price?
You know, I'm sure they did, but I didn't jot that one down. Vic, do you remember?
$237, okay.
That's good, Victor. Right on.
$270 million?
$237.
Oh, 37, okay, because I was going to say it's 273 million yeah. cubic feet per so that would be.
I'm also just curious, since you talked about the grant from AML, do you know how many projects are in the queue that haven't been funded yet? I'm just curious.
I did talk to Jim about that.
I don't know how many are in the queue.
I think with the plan we provide to OSM, I think we have probably another 10, 15 that we have. Okay.
All right. And Commissioner Kolk, earlier you said about the interest about, you know, carbon sequestration or whatever used for enhanced oil recovery. Can you tell me about what the discussion was like?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. You know, I've been the vice chair of the committee for the last couple of years, so I've met some of the players. But now in our new role, we've had a whole bunch of phone calls and actually some meetings I had early last week with the Department of Energy is getting a lot of pressure that if they really are going to have an all-of-the-above energy program, they better do some coal research. And, you know, Great River Energy benefited from some DOE dollars with that dry finding years ago. And so DOE is looking at their next round of projects that they're going to put out there for bid, if you will. And so one of the things that I told them, I said, you know, we need to tie the what enhanced oil recovery does to help oil production. So then these companies, oil companies, will want the CO2. So if we build a new coal plant, we can capture the CO2 and then oil companies will buy it. But when I talk to the oil producers, I can't explain to them what the value is. And so DOE is looking, I'm working with them to try to get them some data sets so they can then show what EOR does for North Dakota. And then we could take that to our oil producers and tie them with some of the coal producers. And it could be natural gas, too, I guess, for that matter. And so that's kind of the discussion that's taking place. And we've had limited discussions with the EERC up in Grand Forks. John Harju and I had a meeting last week. And so the tie the PCOR project into this. But that's kind of where it's laying out at. It's just and it's not just for North Dakota. Well, this will be a full set of, you know, West Virginia will come into play in Ohio and other states. But there's a push for North Dakota because this is a place where oil production, you know, the cost of oil per barrel is going down. Now, we've got some fields out there, the way I understand, that would be pretty good for CO2 enhancement. So as this plays out, I think it'll be very, very good to have that data.
All right. And the hearing tomorrow in Ashley, do you expect a lot of interest in that? I was kind of curious.
I haven't heard. Have you?
The first hearing we had there 4 years ago, there was very little public input. I haven't heard anything. Usually by this point, we do hear something. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll see.
This is more of a case where they've changed some of the turbines that they're using and some of the locations, so we're going there to make sure that the public's aware of that and doesn't have any issues, if I'm remembering correctly.
Absolutely.
So here's your left field question for the day. Do you want to be part of the Industrial Commission?
I'm going to let that discussion take place in the legislature. There's obviously a lot of overlap in terms of issues that we deal with, and so there's some rationale from that standpoint, but it also changes significantly the dynamics of the Industrial Commission. And I think that before something of that magnitude is done, there'd have to be some pretty careful studying undertaken just to make sure we understand what the impacts of the benefits and that would be.
I would be concerned about, we have the siting jurisdiction on a lot of these things, as Commissioner Fedorchuk brought out the conflict, so tread lightly on that one. It's just like the Empower Commission. The reason the PSC doesn't have a seat in the Empower Commission is because we're going to be the ones approving or disapproving the projects that come out of there. So.
Yeah, and that's a industry-based effort. So, yeah, you know, I think it just speaks to a legitimate policy issues that are occurring all across the board. And, you know, and I applaud the legislators for constantly looking at how can we do this the best and evaluate what we're doing. And just because it's always been that way doesn't mean that's how it always has to be moving forward. But maybe that is the best approach. And so I think this is in that vein and worth looking at to that extent. And I would estimate that it will keep it the way it is.
So you don't want to add the Bank of North Dakota to your portfolio, do you?
Not necessarily. I mean, we have a pretty heavy workload already, and it's not like we're looking for more things to oversee. And so I think that there was some, you know, thought put into how to split things up and divide the workload when the original Industrial Commission was created and the PSC. So, you know, what merits changing that now, I'm not sure.
But whatever they decide, we'll get it done.
That's right. They can have the full policy discussion in the legislative arena. All right. Thanks, Dave. Would you guys like to break or move straight through? Okay. We'll take a quick break and resume at 5 to 11 for the admin portion of the meeting.